We're going to talk today about the power of positive resistance. Without this, Satan's going to run amok in your life. Without understanding this simple skill, I'm going to teach you one skill in this message today that has served me so well all my Christian life, and without it, I don't think I'd have made it. Yet I find as I travel the world, and as I minister to people here, so few Christians understand it. So let's dive in. We're going to read together first Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 9. He who is loose and slack in his work is brother to him who is a destroyer. And he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is brother to him who commits suicide. If you're not careful, Christianity becomes a passive, chill out, and pray for miracles. This verse is coming against that, and it's saying you'd better be building. You'd better not get slack. You'd better not get loose, or you're going to be brother to him who's destroying people and work and countries. Then it goes on in that verse and says, if you don't use every endeavor you can think of to heal yourself, heal your body, heal your marriage, heal your mind, heal your relationships, then you are brother to him who commits suicide. That's an amplified Bible translation, and it's quite the verse. It's the only place suicide shows up in the entire translation. God has blessed us. Jesus came and died for us. And he prepared a way for you and I to live a life that Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But Christians just tend to settle in and just pray for miracles. And when they don't get them, we, you know, blame God. We've got a teaching out there that is in literally 95% of churches and denominations. God is sovereign. He's in control. You know, any thinking human being is literally looks at that and goes, I mean, a few years ago when we first started Springs Church, or we came to Springs Church here, one of the columnists in Toronto wrote a column as to why he's agnostic and why he is not a Christian. And he said this. He said, Christians say that God is a God of love and that he's in control. And because of those two thoughts, I don't believe they'll ever come together. I don't believe in their Christian God. If God is in control of everything, then he's allowing the rapes, he's allowing the murders, he's allowing the child abuse, he's allowing the sickest things like millions being killed in wars or nations wiping out 40 million of their own people. God is in control. You don't have to have a grade 5 education to recognize there's something wrong with that thought. We know that he's in control of the timetable of the world. We know he's in control of the outcome of where life is going. But he's not in control of you unless you give it to him. And so you and I need to understand that in life, if you allow life to push at you and push at you and push at you, most people will just give in. They just give in to poverty. Just give in to sickness. Just give in to half-baked living. Just give in. And so we live this sedentary life of, well, you know, chill out. But yet the Bible says in a number of places, wake up the mighty men. It doesn't mean that some of you are mighty men and that some of you aren't. It means that deep within you in the hidden man of the heart, there is a mighty man, a mighty woman of God that God has designed you to be. And you better wake him up. You better make sure that there is this constant resistance, this powerful sense of resistance. You know, the Bible teaches us, and we'll get to the verse, that we must submit to God, resist the devil. Well, how long should you resist him? 2 minutes? A week? A month? No, you better be in a resistant mode to every one of his thoughts, every one of his activities, every one of his attacks. There should never be within a person who follows Jesus Christ this kind of just, oh, well, there's got to be this resistance. Resist the devil and he will flee. And I want to look at it a little bit differently, because we tend to think that, well, the devil shows up, resist him. But I believe that every day, there is a push from the world. There's a push from us to just settle in, to just be that Christian who walks around and doesn't say anything, do anything, share our faith. And while the world goes to hell in a handbasket and the smallest little special interest groups are running countries, we just sit back with a smile and say, well, we're praying for a miracle. The Bible doesn't say sit around praying for a miracle. It says if you're loose and slack, you're brother to a destroyer. If you're not using every endeavor to heal our country, our families, our homes, then is it you are a brother to him who commits suicide? He's saying in this incredible language, push back. Have this positive resistance when you want to give in to a blasé marriage. You want to give in to, you know, to whatever the promises of God have given us. There's got to be within you just this powerful, positive resistance. And once you begin to choose this way to live, you'll notice there's something within you that rises up. That mighty man within you is not asleep. That mighty woman within you is not asleep. The second something pushes against you, you just begin to know. And that resistance is there. And the Bible says Satan is the one who flees. Satan is the one who just levels out. Satan is the one who backs off. Not you. You have to be careful raising kids, because whatever you give into, you're training them to give into. Take sickness. I've counseled with adults struggling in areas and found out that the happiest time of their life was being sick. I said, really? Oh, when I was sick, mommy would stay home from work. We would, you know, watch TV together. I got to have popsicles and ice cream, and she'd cuddle with me. I'd lay on her bed while we watched TV. Being sick at our house was the most, when you got the most attention, when you got the most hugs, when you got the most love. Make sure as a parent that it doesn't take a sick kid to get you to give attention and to give love and to reach out to them and to care. Or you'll raise somebody who, rather than resist all kinds of sickness, okay, now that they just, they give into it. Some of you were raised in homes where, you know, people with money are arrogant and proud and they're going to hell. And anytime you wanted a new pair of Nikes, money doesn't grow on trees. And so all of this push at you makes you now as an adult struggle to even get ahead, to be able to have enough to give and to help others. We've got to be very careful in our world that we don't just start to go with the flow. My dad had a saying as a pastor. He said, any dead fish can float downstream. It takes a strong fish to get up and go against the current. And until you die and go to be with Jesus, you will live in a society, in a culture on this planet that you'll have to resist its pervasive push. You'll have to resist its pervasive ability to creep into your life, your relationships, your believing, this passion to get up and do something. It's like cheap underwear. It just creeps up on you. The Bible is full of promises that are showing us what Jesus died for and what we should resist. Now, even in the struggle, you resist. You know, we taught our kids, there's some flus pushing at them and they're sitting there hacking and coughing. We just taught them that Jesus is their healer, and we prayed the prayer of faith and anointed them with Tylenol or whatever it is you give them. There's lots of times things didn't come right away, but what I really want on the inside of them is not a giving into it. Oh, I guess this is the way it's always going to be. There's a verse in Proverbs that goes like this, and it typifies so many Christians. There's a lion in the streets. I guess I will die. What? There's a lion in the streets. I guess I will die. No, it should be, there's a lion in the streets. Fight! fight! Run! Do something! Not, I guess I will die. And it's talking about slothfulness. It's different than laziness. It doesn't mean you don't work hard. It means that you'll settle. Rather than to go for every promise, rather than to live this passionate faith, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that every one of the men and women of God who have died, all died in faith. When I die, I'm dying in faith, believing God this church is going to reach more. I'm dying believing God is going to raise more finances, is going to reach more countries. Nobody dies just, well, my time is up, oh well. If you even know when you're going, fine. But you ought to have generations of your family picking up the dreams that God's placed in your heart to touch this world. So we must have this constant, positive power of resistance. Resist the devil. It never turns off. You need to literally be wired this way, thinking this way, acting this way, talking this way. Because if you don't, it's amazing how quickly we just settle in. And there's a lot of stuff in this world that's not settling in. They're fighting for what they think is right. I want to talk to you about a skill that is how to resist, how to bring change to your life. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 4. And it's called put off, put on. Put off, put on. Put off, put on, I'll explain it, is the answer to the behavior you're struggling with. Put off, put on is the answer to the boundary that keeps your marriage from growing. Put off, put on is the thing the Bible teaches us. Wherever you have limits, wherever you can't get past boundaries, wherever things aren't going and you're not breaking through into the thing you used to dream about when it came to your marriage, the thing you used to dream about when it came to finances, the thing you used to dream about when it came to growing a business, growing a family, and something has created a boundary. And so now what we do is we blame the devil. Oh, the devil's on my case. No, he's not. Devil can't stop you. Jesus defeated him. I could go through a ton of scriptures right now. We'll go through some that show you that it's not the enemy. It is the self-imposed boundaries that come out of the inside of you called your heart, where the center of your identity is. This subconscious area where whatever's happened to you during life has, you have created these beliefs about what you can do and what you can't do, what's okay and what's not okay, and you are going to live them out, and they're going to come and haunt you every time you try to take a marriage past a certain point. These beliefs will rise up, these memories will rise up, these teachings will rise up. Anytime you want to get a business where he goes, no longer, I don't want to just have a nice house and send my kids to university, I want to finance a church, I want to touch a nation, I want to reach the world for Jesus, and that's going to take more money. Well, anytime you try to get into that place of finance that is more than just your needs, it's amazing how many people can't get past the boundary. It's the devil. It's not the devil. The pathetic little fallen angel doesn't have that much power. What it is the power's been invested in you. In Genesis, it says this. It says that you and I are made, let me read it, Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man like another animal after all the beasts of the field. That's not what it says. Don't let anybody convince you of that. Man is made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, and has been given dominion. Let's just stop right there for a minute, because this is so much teaching that goes on from there. And so you are made in his likeness, you're made in his image. Then, after the fall, Jesus came and died on the cross, and he died for our sins to qualify us as righteous. Righteousness is a gift. He died to help us to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places of authority and power. Jesus said, all authority, all power is given to me. Now you go. There's nothing you can't change in your life. Well, you know, I just think this is who I am. No, it's who you was, and it's the habits you developed, being trained the way you grew up. But now that you know Jesus Christ, there is nothing in your life that you cannot change. The Bible says that repeatedly over and over. What is stopping us are the beliefs of the heart, because the heart is the very center of your identity, and it's your identity that you believe, okay, that stops you and creates boundaries in all of these areas of our lives. So what do we do? What do we do when our life comes to a place where now we got to where we are in business fairly easily? Now it's hard. Our marriage got to where it is now and pretty easily, but now it's, oh my Lord. I mean, my emotion, what any ever area, the Bible says, greater is he who is in heaven? No, greater is he who is within you than anything this world would do to try to fashion you, to form you after its culture. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but you be transformed. That word transformed doesn't mean changed behavior. It means absolutely changed inside and free. And then it says you're going to prove what this amazing life is. Okay, I'm going to go fast because I got some ground to cover. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning to verse 23 and on, says that we should be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Then it says this, that you put off the old and that you put on the new. Most people think they have renewed their mind because they know Scripture. I know a ton of leaders and Christians who know Scripture better than me, but haven't got a soul saved, haven't seen a miracle, haven't got anybody, that there's no ability to make the Word work. They think because they know more stuff that their mind is renewed. But a mind that is renewed, I don't have to even judge you. I'll show you how to. The Bible says that when your mind is renewed, that you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It doesn't say you can see it, you can think it, you prove it. If you say to me, I can lift this table over my head 14 times, good for you. But if you come up here and do it, you've proved it to me. It's in the doing. The Bible teaches us that when you renew your mind, the way you know this renewal process is working is that your life begins to change. And I want you to see something so simple today that will help you. If you just start this one practice today of put on, put off. I'll show it to you in a few verses and then I'll go on from there. You'll notice in the Bible, repeatedly, over and over, this term, put on, put off. And I'm going to go fast, so if they can keep up with me fine on the screen. But the Bible says in Ephesians 6:10, put on the whole armor. God's not putting on your armor, you put it on. Put it on. If you go down to 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6, it talks about pulling down things. Romans 13, 12, put on the armor of light. Romans 13, 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Galatians 3, 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's repeatedly talking about putting on armor, putting on the armor of light, which is the Word of God, the revelation of God's Word. Putting on Jesus, putting off the works of the flesh, the desires, and putting on. And nobody hardly practices this. They just gain more knowledge. I want you starting today to put off, put on, put off, put on. It is the most miraculous process because Holy Spirit is here. And by the way, he's not going to do it for you. Holy Spirit's not the doer. Holy Spirit is the helper. Until you do, he doesn't help. He's got nothing to help you with if you don't do. So when you begin to decide, I am tired of the boundaries that I hit. I'm tired of the things that I'm messing with. I'm tired of the feelings that haunt me. I'm tired of fear. I'm tired of anger. I'm tired of the limitations. I'm tired of all this stuff that the Bible says I'm free from. Well, inside of you is Jesus. Now you have to put him on. That word put on is like putting on a coat, putting off a coat. It literally is saying you are a new creation. Your spirit man is alive, but there is this simple process. Put him on. It talks about putting on his armor. It talks about, you know, and there's other words that are used in the Bible. This is not this, you got to say it a certain way and do it a certain way. No, the Bible says in Matthew 16 and chapter 16 and chapter 18 in two places, it says that how your life will go depends upon what you bind and what you loose. There, you're in control again. You should be binding, you should be loosing. You should be putting off, you should be putting on. You should be sending it away, you should be inviting it in. all of these, and it's looked at many different ways, probably four or five different ways. I could explain to you this renewal of the mind process is not more information. It's not because you're so smart and you've got it all memorized and, you know, no. Are you practicing every day? Put off, put on. And the things that come to you, harass you, haunt you, the stuff that's happened to you that controls you, when it rises up, you must put it off. You know, many of our leading psychologists today say that your personality, who you are, how you see yourself, etc., are all determined by grade school. By grade school. You go, no way. Yeah, Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's older, he won't depart from it. Let me add something to that. Hurt a child in the ways that he should go. And he'll be hurt at trying to fulfill that. An example. Anything that I've tried to do to go to newer places, whether it's relationships, whether it's a church, whether it's new organizations, whether it's me and just getting myself to a place of joy and fulfillment, any area at all that I struggle, I immediately know this is not the devil. He has no power to stop me. This is not God. He's blessed me and given me the ability. That means somewhere this is me stopping me. That was one of the most freeing things I ever learned decades ago, was I didn't have to worry about the devil and I didn't have to worry about God. God wasn't going to hurt me. God wasn't going to allow things to happen to me. I live in a world where stuff will happen. He's always on my side to win. And then I begin to recognize that how I saw myself, the things that were that stopped. I'll give you an example. When I was a little boy, because I was a preacher's kid in the little town my parents pastored, I was always bullied. I could give you story after story right now of the things they would do to me. Okay, and by the way, I am not this guy that can say I am like the king of being hurt. Now, there's people here, it's 100 times worse than me. But let me explain something to you. I remember in grade one, literally being tied to a tree by the bullies in the junior high because I was the preacher's kid, and mom and dad come looking for me and find me tied in the school grounds to a tree. And the fear and the sense of rejection, all the things that they would do, they threw me one time into a dugout beside our house in the wintertime, and it was just in the fall where there's a little bit of ice. I remember breaking through the ice and them literally going off laughing at me, and I'm in grade one and grade two, and I'm trying to claw my way out. And so I grew up at those years with this incredible sense of rejection. I just knew that people would reject me. I just knew that I would never fit in. I knew I'd be picked last. And once I made these judgments about myself, now I could tell you 2,000 more stories. And none of them are true. They're my judgments. Oh, it happened to me. But I wasn't being rejected. It was just three fools being foolish. I wasn't being rejected. It was just people being the mean old person that they are. It wasn't even my issue. It was their issue. But the judgments that I passed on these people began to form these boundaries on the inside of me, so that when I would go to believe, could I come to Winnipeg and could we grow a church? Immediately, all this stuff that had been, I was raised up in, where, you know, people are going to reject you, people are going to rally around you, people are going to let you lead them, that stuff began to come up. And it would haunt you because it's created boundaries, how you were raised, what you were taught, the things that happened to you, all of this stuff. Now, the Bible teaches another way. It says, forget those things which are behind and press forward. Another way of saying put off, put on. And now, how do you do that when you're about to go into an endeavor and you're literally, your identity, which is in your heart, is trying to become this because you've only made it to this and this boundary's in the way? The boundary is not the devil. The boundary is not God. The boundaries are the beliefs you have formed. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Go to the word issues in the Strong's for the Hebrew, and it'll list four definitions of this word. The fourth one is boundaries. It literally can be read like this. Guard your heart with all diligence, because the boundaries to your life that you can't get past, the boundaries, the ceiling you keep hitting, is determined by your heart. So guard it, protected. And you don't know how to do that as a child. So every one of us has these issues that come from childhood. And because of that, the church a few decades ago had all this inner healing teaching. So if you couldn't get someone, they were kind of on the right course. You had to sit down and go through all your stories. So one person would sit down and it would literally take them days, weeks, months to find freedom as they talked through the grade one. Yeah, I remember peeing my pants in the air, and I remember being not picked on the school team, and I had this memory. And so you go through all this, and I didn't see real freedom. And I thought, how are we going to win the world to Jesus if we have to do that with every person that we win to God? God, really? Do I got to hire 10,000 counselors to get anybody past any boundary in their life? And I would search the Word and dive into the Word. God, what can I do? Okay, I'm able to do this. How do I get relationships to here? How do I get finances to there? How do we get organizations to touch the world? Because it's not there's nothing that can stop us except the beliefs of our heart. But you know what's crazy? Because at times as I'm believing and praying to go somewhere further, this story from my past, a memory from my past would rise up. And or, you know, being rejected or failing at something would rise up. And you try to struggle with this memory in your memory banks, and you're trying to move on while you're trying to struggle with not to think about this thing. The Bible has a very simple thing. Send it away, put it off, bind it, and then submit to God's Word. It's so simple, we've missed it. We don't even practice that. Yet you need to practice this daily. And when you practice this, this is the resistance. Because it's not just a matter of Satan, oh, he attacked me once in 1953. No, there's a constant barrage of the beliefs of the world that are going to come against you, going to come against your marriage, your finances, your heart, your family, your home, everything. And so as we learn God's Word, what is God's will for your life and what is God's promise for you and what has Jesus won for you on the cross, then when you accept Him and He's on the inside of you, now He's in you, now put Him on you. It's basically just being who you is. Be who you is. It's a defeating thought to try to become. Because the second you tell somebody you need to become, you're telling them they're not. And so much of Christianity is trying to become, laboring, praying, I'm interceding, I'm hanging out of the horns of the altar, I'm sweating, I'm praying, I'm giving, I'm fasting, I'm doing all this stuff trying to become. What are you trying to become? Because you already is, if you've given your life to Christ. Now, the simple process of put it on. And so now, when I'm about to embark on new things, or I'm going through challenges, and anything rises up, lies, memories, stories, beliefs, the second they rise up, I send them away. You know, that thought's gone. Maybe you're trying to get healed and walk in health and healing, but your Aunt May, I'm making this up, your Aunt May died and you watched her, one of your favorite aunts, as she struggled and didn't get better, and the fear as she went into eternity, and the fear you have of sickness and how limiting it is. And now as you try to believe God for miracles, because you're now a believer serving God, this picture of Aunt May keeps coming up as she's doing whatever, going through her prayers or trying to do stuff. And if, what are you doing thinking about that? Well, you know, I need to think it through. No, you don't. You forget it. You'll never figure that out. You don't know why. When you get to heaven, ask the questions. But for now, forget it. Put it off, bind it, let it go, because going into your past and into your memories and into all the things that hurt you is a fast trip to be limited in every area of life. The Bible says in Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, take thoughts captive. There are so, I don't care which way you do this, but you need to, with whatever favorite verses or how you need to put off, put on. Put off, put on. Send away, invite. Bind, loose. All of these things are taught in the New Testament, that this is the way. And by the way, it's not the devil that you have to worry about. Okay, someone's holding on. The binding and loosing, that's a prayer of dealing with the devil. Oh, really? Oh, I thought Jesus dealt with the devil. Well, we got to bind him. Let me ask you a question. If you bind a spirit of lust, how long does he stay bound? We've developed beliefs and things that we haven't hooked. We don't understand doctrine. This is about what's going on in your heart. Ephesians 4:20 says, but you have not so learned Christ. This is number 12, guys. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Verses will say this, put on love. I wished I could be more loving. God, please make me more loving. I'm such a jerk. I'm angry. I'm hateful. Stop it. You're not supposed to pray for that. Do you know that 90% of what Christians pray for when they talk to me is a complete waste of time? Because they're asking someone to give them something that he's already given. If it's already been given to you and Jesus has qualified you for it, then you speak to the mountains, you put off, you put on. And so when you begin to understand this, you begin to put off. When stuff comes at you, you just know. When all of a sudden I'm believing God for miracles and trying to teach my kids how to walk in health and my wife, and all of a sudden Aunt May comes up and I still see this favorite aunt and tears come to my eyes, stop. I put that off in the name of Jesus Christ. And I put on the promise that says in Psalms 103, verses 1-7, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases in the name of Jesus. And I put that off and I put it on. And I practice this every day of my life for the rest of my life. Oh, that sounds so defeating, Leon. No, defeated are the people who don't do this. Because there's always going to be stuff pushing at you. And here's what happens. This Jesus that is within you, this power that is within you, every time this thought rises up, you take it captive, as it says in Corinthians chapter 10. You send it away, as epistles say. You put it off, as it says in Ephesians. You bind it, as it says in Matthew. I don't care what language is being used, but nonstop, ongoing in the New Testament, it gives you and I the choice when thoughts, ideas, memories, beliefs, things you identify with, limit you, stop you, hurt you, control you. Out loud in your prayer time, you need to say, that memory of those boys tying me to the tree is gone. I don't accept rejection. I'm accepted in the beloved God's in love with me. Do you know how much, God, you see, how valuable are you? Well, anybody who's in business knows it's whatever the market will bear. How much did God pay for you? How valuable are you? Now I got news for you. You're valuable to me, and I don't know what I'd give for you. Would I give my house? Would I give my car? Would I give my savings? Maybe. Would I give my son for you? Be honest with me. Come on. Not a chance. You screwed. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I anchored my self-worth in that I'm so loved, I'm so accepted, I'm so appreciated, I'm so valuable, that if I was the only one on the planet, Jesus would have come and died for me. And my identity doesn't come from how big the church is, how good I look, or how well I do over there. I am, my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood, his righteousness. When you begin to recognize that, now, as all these thoughts rise up out of your past, maybe you're a bankruptcy, a failed marriage, something that went wrong, things that taunted you, wherever you've always had to make a judgment on that situation, you've got to release that and let it go and put on the word. This is a process to do the rest of your life. And what's beautiful is you're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are putting off everything that goes against what he did from the cross to the throne. And you're putting on every promise. This simple process is so easy. Do it in the midst of sickness. Just, I put it off and I put on the promises of God. You say, well, Leon, what if it doesn't go away? What are you going to do? Stop resisting? When our kids were young, you know, there's so many different beliefs about faith and healing. And, you know, they got a flu or they're going through something. Yeah, we prayed the prayer of faith and anointed with Tylenol. Just told them, Jesus is healing you. You know, we don't accept this. They didn't even have any questions. I just knew that within us is this, the presence of God. So just stay in this positive resistance. And you're going to find that as you put off and put on God's Word, put off those thoughts, put off those memories, put off those limiting beliefs, put off those things that happened to you that have formed your identity and your limitations. And when they rise up, just send them away. All you say is, I put that memory off in Jesus' name. And I put on the opposite. What does the Word say about what you're putting off? If you simply practice this simple habit and make it a habit, do this every day, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God rises up within you, because Holy Spirit is your helper, and He's here to help you to become who you is. Father, I pray for each person here. I pray that You'll touch them in a very special and a powerful way. I want to pray for people. If you're here and you're hearing this message and you go, Pastor, there's an area of my life I've settled. There's an area I've stopped resisting. Today I'm making this change. I want you to slip your hand up and just hold it as you're sitting there. I want to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, You see every hand in the air and the lies of the enemy. The constant barrage of what goes on in life has caused us to back away. And Father, I pray right now that this message will bury deep into their hearts. That Father, something's going to rise up. And I pray that You will wake up the mighty men, wake up the mighty women that's on the inside of them. And we're going to begin to resist the lies of the enemy, submit to God, put off, put on. And we're going to go fulfill the call of God on our lives. I pray this over them now in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Well, give Jesus a hand.